I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot. Score! O'Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot! Score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And yes, the Joe Schott Hour starting here on Mix 93 WKMJ on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the 15th day of January. Huskies were off this past Friday and Saturday, now get set to dive right back in the WCHE action, which it seems like it's been a long time, and it has, Coach. Over a month since we've been playing in the WCHA, and nice to have you back in our studio today.
Good morning, Dirk. It's great to be back.
Well, the week off for the team, got some good practices in. I know I got a chance to watch a little bit on Saturday, and the guys were doing some great drills. It sounded like they were having fun, Coach. I know you were out recruiting, but it sounded like they were having a good time.
Yeah, maybe that's why they were having fun.
But
it was, we had a really good week of practice. Couple guys out during the week because of the being banged up a bit in the four games over the holidays. But we had I thought we had a great week of practice. Guys are working hard. I love the energy in the room. I love the positiveness in the room. We have a great group of young men. They're a tremendous group of guys who work hard. They're working hard to get better. And I liked the week of practice last week. And we also got a lot of some great recruiting in. So all three of us were gone on the weekend on Saturday recruiting. So it was I think we made the most of that week.
And this is really the last time for you this regular season to get out on a weekend to do any recruiting because we're playing the rest of the way.
Yeah, but it was good. I got to see some of our couple guys we have committed, and then went out to take a look at a goalie and so it was a great time to get out. But right now our focus is on trying to make a push, trying to get ourselves in the hunt for the home ice position. We're in the hunt. Teams are. I think there's only one team in the league now, or maybe two, maybe Anchorage and Bemidji, that are behind us in games still. Mm-hmm. With a couple of games, everybody else is either tied or ahead of us in games. So
yeah, it's amazing. We have games in hand against a couple of teams finally.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And which is good. So we're outside looking in now. We're in fifth place. It didn't go as poorly as it could have. So we're still in the hunt. But the teams we have ahead of us are good hockey teams. We have a chance to play three of them. So we have a chance to make some hay against them.
We do. 12 games left. That's it in the regular season. 10 of those are in the WCHA. That calculates to 30 possible points. And when I was sitting there over the weekend trying to figure everything out as I was watching some of the great scores in the WCHA, like Alaska beating Minnesota State Friday night 5-0. That's just crazy.
Yeah, they handled them pretty well in that game. And Mankato came out Saturday and flexed some muscle. Mm-hmm. At one point out shooting them 20-2. But Fairbanks is a good team. Fairbanks is a team like us that's hit and miss a little bit, that are striving for that consistency in their game, and they have a good squad. They do some things really well. They do some things better than a lot of teams in our league, as far as some separation things in the offensive zone. But they're a good team, and they've shown again, Anchorage on Saturday night, they won their second game. They beat Huntsville, which was a big game for us as well, because Huntsville's breathing right down us too. So, any team on any night can win in our league. The top teams are just winning a little bit more than the bottom teams, but right now it's still a pretty good logjam.
When you look at Fairbanks, Coach, what is it about them? Because, you know, we talked about this. We have those teams where, you know, on paper we should be winning and we're not. And there's these other teams that, you know, we have a pretty good record against. And Fairbanks is, you know, yes, maybe on paper we should be winning those games too, and we have. But for some reason, we just have their number. And any and Anchorage is the opposite, where they just kind of have our number. We can't seem to beat them. It is strange how that works sometimes.
Yeah, you're right about Anchorage. Anchorage, since I've been here, has been a nemesis. I mean, there's a lot of games where I was gone recruiting and didn't see and came back, and it was just the locker room was a morgue where we lost, got swept by them. A couple years ago, I remember coming in on a Monday morning, or Tuesday morning. I got back from recruiting out west and we had gotten swept at home by Anchorage, and Mel was just, he was in mourning. He was sitting, didn't know which way to turn. Are we losing the team? And we ended up getting it back together. So Anchorage is a team that plays us a certain way. And we've talked about those teams that play us that way, give us trouble. But right now, we in my time here also, we've had our good success against Fairbanks, but they're a good team. They skate. Mm-hmm. What they like to do, they like to open it up a little more than maybe some of the other teams. Then it just comes out to who scores more goals.
And the Huskies have been able to do that. You look back at the series earlier the weekend after Thanksgiving, the Huskies got that big goal in overtime up at the Carlson Center by Jake Lucchini.
Far for him, poked away, Gould with it again. Les Ferrance trying to find it. Bottle up just inside of the Alaska zone. And nice play. Here's a chance for Lucchini. Walks in. She scores! Oh, Lucchini with a goal! Wins the game in overtime. 57.2 seconds left. What a play by Les Ferrance on the assist. And the Huskies get a win 5-4 in overtime here in Fairbanks.
I still love, that's still one of my favorite goals of the season. There were so many good things that happened there, and Joel Esperance was really the pinnacle of that goal, I think.
Yeah, he won the battle on the half boards above the top of the circle there, and we've seen that go both ways this year, but he got it, and Fairbanks had overcommitted on their defensive coverage, and Luch was all alone top of the circle area, and he was able to walk in, dribble the puck a couple times, and put it blocker side. But that was a big 3 points for us, because we came back from being down 3-0 in that game, after a couple games in Fairbanks or in Anchorage where we were battling, we had come back in the Anchorage game in one of the games as well. But that was a big 3 points, and then the next night we rode that into a sweep.
Yeah, and it was a great sweep. And my favorite goal on Saturday night, there were a lot of good goals, but Seamus Donahue got his very first career goal as a Husky.
Donahue will send it to Gould on the sidewall. Lucchini still out there, protects the puck. He'll bring it around to the top of the circle. Drops it there for Donahue, who steps up on the play. Donahue with a nice move to the net. Donahue in front. Gould trying to take a shot. Here's Donahue with a shot. Scores! Seamus Donahue with the goal for the Michigan Tech Huskies to make it 5-0. That is his first goal as a Husky. They'll pick that puck up. And what a play there by Michigan Tech to keep at it and make it 5-0 with 3:27 left in the second.
I don't like making comparisons from one player to another, but can you help us out, Coach, and take a guy like Mitch Ranke in his freshman year and a guy like Seamus Downey who is in his freshman year now. Are there any comparisons between the two? Because it seems to me they have such great skating ability and offensive skills too.
Yeah, well, one's a lefty, one's a righty. That's mm-hmm. That's the biggest difference.
Yeah, probably.
But they are. They've been two great freshmen for us. What I liked about that clip, the crowd, like the Misfits, and we had a group of Misfits up there. We're in Alaska. We're in Fairbanks, Alaska on the second week of a two-weeker, and that, you know, our following is just so tremendous. I remember that play. That was on the scissor play that Seamus walked down the wall on. He ended up, his momentum carried him behind the net, and he curled around, and then I believe it was Gavin got the puck to him, or puck popped out to him in a real quick bang bang play on the side of the net as he was starting to retreat back to his defensive position. But it was a big goal for us. Those two guys have been outstanding. You know, now we have some other guys jumping in with Keegan on the men. So it's been good. You know, another player who's been playing tremendous for us, you're probably going to get into it, Cooper Watson's been playing absolutely, absolutely tremendous. He stepped in there. He was ready to go. He worked hard in practice. He got a good understanding of what we're trying to do. He's defending well. He's giving us a big body in there. So we've got some good depth there that we're developing on defense, and we'll need that in these next 12 games.
Well, speaking of Cooper Watson, we haven't really had a chance to chat about him because you threw him in the Great Lakes Invitational, and he's played solid for three straight games. And he, you know, I guess my question is, I always thought because he wasn't really getting a sniff as far as getting in the lineup, he had the one game, but didn't play a whole lot, that maybe he was quite a ways away still. But obviously you guys knew that he was right on the doorstep there.
Yeah, what was going on is, first of all, he had some adjustment in his first game in the lineup. It didn't go that well for him, mm-hmm. In his first game. So we wanted to make sure that he was ready and could gain confidence when he was back in there. With the injury to Keegan that last weekend before the GLI, when he's going to be out for the year, then you're looking for some depth. You're looking for some, you know, you look for opportunities to get certain players in. Still trying to figure out, how to best utilize Mark Ock. Defending is a big deal for us. We want to make sure we have that side of the game down. We need Mark's offense in the game. We need him to get rolling and get going. And, so we're still playing around with that, but it gave us a good opportunity to get Cooper in the game. And he was ready. I mean, we watched him in practice and we want that big long stick on the penalty kill. You know, our MO as a team has kind of been where we have mobility on defense. We had some guys that could carry both that had strength and mobility, in the past. As guys are building their bodies up here and getting to that point, the biggest thing that we need to have because of the way we play and the swarming type of style that we play is to make sure that we have the mobility there and the ability to make plays and move the puck up the ice. As we're just talking about, Meek and Donahue and guys that can get up and make things happen. But you still need to make sure you have that Cliff Watson type player there, that Leibinger type player that's good on the defending side of it, that's aggressive on the defending side of it, that players look and they know that they're going to get, it's not going to be easy to play against those players. And Cooper stepped in and he's given us that. The first thing is being able to make sure that he can understand the penalty killing responsibilities so that he can do that. And he's gotten that down. He's worked hard at that and gotten that down. So he's been a great asset for us. And we played over the break, we played four freshmen on any given night on the blue line. So that's a big deal for us. And then you throw Burks and Renke in there with it. You know, Renke's a sophomore. Now, whether he's back next year or not, he's still a sophomore. So four freshmen and a sophomore throughout the four games of the GLI. So that's a big deal.
Please tell me he's coming back next year.
Well, he's going to get the opportunity to sign. He's a tremendous player. He's one of the better players in college hockey. He's got a great brain on him. He's got a great stick. He sees the future. That's what you like about having a guy like Mitch in the locker room is that, I've said before, he reminds me a lot of a player, Ryan Miller, who I coached for 3 years in juniors. You could always see, these players see the future. Like, these players work on their weaknesses. They bring it every day. They understand that to be a professional, you have to bring it every day. And that's what he brings to our locker room. He brings that quiet leadership type deal where he leads by example. And he's done a great job for us. So he's going to have an opportunity. It's going to be if he thinks it's whatever happens is the right fit for him. But again, he's a guy who's developed really well, for us and done a great job and is an elite player.
What's the difference from Cooper Watson now in the four games that he has played, compared to how he played, in the BC in Vernon there? I mean, is there different, what did you have to change from him, I guess, as far as his style?
Well, a big deal is anybody within our game has to show some mobility and be able to make plays with the puck. We don't just throw the puck up to forwards and bank it off the glass. We don't play a game like a lot of teams play, that just play to defend. We try to play a game where guys can use their skills and make plays. We want guys, Mel used to say that he wasn't, we'd always be fighting for certain guys to get in the lineup. He can't make a play. He can't make a play. If you couldn't score goals and contribute offensively, I think, like, the philosophy, I think, was we'd just soon win a 9-8 game than a 2-1 game, all things being equal. We just want to win hockey games, but it's still important. Always, it's always been important to me that you have players in there that can contribute and make good decisions and can take off with the puck and because a lot of times in today's hockey, the only opportunity you have at odd man rushes is a weak side D joining. Because it's such tight checking. If you can beat a guy, one of the four checkers or one of a guys, being a little bit offensive minded in the offensive zone, you can jump up in the play. That's where you get your odd man rush and find him on the second wave attack. So, you need to be able to do that. And then when you get it, you got to be able to make plays with it. Much like you saw, the clip that you played on Donahue where he jumped up into a play and made something happen for us. So that's the biggest thing is that he's, I remember talking to him in Alaska, both, in some practice saying, there's an opportunity right there to make a play. You know, there's an opportunity right there to make a play instead of just getting it and throwing it to coverage or something like that. So, his total understanding of the game has improved. He's on an upswing. He's trending in the right direction as far as his commitment and his, not really his commitment, but his, execution. So, he's becoming a big part of our defensive core.
Lots more to talk about as the Huskies get set to host Alaska Fairbanks this Friday and Saturday night. Game time 7:07, and we'll be on the air at 6:30 tonight as you're making your way to the game. Get your tickets at buyhuskiestickets.com or by calling 487-2073, or you can stop on by the Central Ticket Office up at the SDC. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Joe Schott Hour. Got a question for Coach? Email it to me, DJ@themix93.com.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950. Or click northernfootcare.com.
The deals keep getting better and better in 2018 at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 12-ounce six-packs of beer are on sale all month. Bucko's is your beef jerky, energy drink, Powerade, and Gatorade headquarters of the North, featuring several great deals. Check out some deals on Red Baron and DiGiorno Pizza for those cold Copper Country nights. All sales do not include taxes and deposit at Bucko's, where the party starts in Calumet.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
In these turbulent political and economic times, are you having trouble mapping out your financial future? Let Gary Jorgensen, a financial advisor with the America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, assist you in the development of a financial strategy to help you achieve your financial goals. The America Group is located south of Houghton on M26, 1 mile past the mall in the Lake Accounting Building. Call 482-2370 for an appointment. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock. 337-5049 Lorium.
Joe Schott Hour continuing here on Mix 93. If you're listening here on this Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day, we are live, and that means that you can send your questions in, DJ@themix93.com. Nicole Wehner, I believe is how you pronounce it, W-E-H-N-E-R, who works up at University Images, is celebrating a birthday today, so wanted to give a shout-out to Nicole. Happy birthday, Nicole. Coach is here with us, and Coach, I just wanted to ask you about Keegan Ford. I know he had the surgery and everything, and everything seems to be going fine for him.
Yeah, it seems to be going well. We've had good communication with him. He's so invested, so bought in, so in love with this area.
So cool.
As are his parents. I mean, I've gotten a couple of notes from them. Our athletic department got a couple of notes from the family, you know, on all the appreciation, that's a story. Keegan's a story. He was supposed to come in here a year ago. He couldn't come in a year ago. He worked out what needed to be worked out, and he's in, and it's been just an absolute phenomenal experience for him. He's been great for us. It'll be good to see him because he brings an energy, like maybe a little spanky on the little rascals. He just brings a fun sense of humor to the locker room, to the team and things like that. So he should be back for classes to start. We haven't seen him in a while, so it'll be great to see Keeg.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about some other WCHA matchups while we were off this weekend, Coach, and to chat a little bit more about Northern Michigan with a sweep at home against Bowling Green. Those are a couple of big wins for the Wildcats.
Yeah, they've done a great job there. And you know, we've talked about this before. I think most people knew that that was that team had had the ability to take off. Grant's done a phenomenal job in his staff. They were, you know, they won, I think, 7 to 8 league games or something like that, 7 to 8 down the stretch last year to end the year to get, made a great run and then took Bemidji, who won the league to 3 games, and it was a tight game. It went right down to the wire at the end in the playoffs. So they were rolling pretty good, going into this year. And then they knew that they had Rockwood coming as a transfer from Wisconsin. He practiced with them all year. And I remember talking to Walt last year. He said that when he was on the ice, whoever he had him with, that line was usually the best line in practice. So you're throwing an impact player in your lineup, as a recruit that already has experience, that did a great job for them. Robbie Payne's having an incredible year. Jordan Klimek, I mean, so many of these guys I was involved in the recruiting of. Jordan Klimek's developed into an all-league defenseman. Boyle is a tremendous player for them on the blue line. They've got outstanding goaltending. So that's how they were able to draw, because of the what was left in the cupboard there. They were able to draw some names in their coaching search, and they've done a great job with it. They play an exciting game. They forecheck hard. They work hard. They compete hard. So, and it starts with their goaltending. Their goaltending gives them a chance and has stole games for them this year. And then they have enough talent to win. So they've moved up into second. They're actually with a couple games in hand on Mankato. They're knocking on the door there to be able to challenge for them. They're going to need some help from some other teams playing Mankato. So, they've done a great job, and we know how Bowling Green plays. The thing that happened last weekend is that, for the most part, Northern was able to get up on them, mm-hmm. or at least not fall behind on them, so they could get into that defensive posture that they'd like to do. Northern scored 4 power play goals in the first game and scored another one in the second game.
So, you look at a guy like Robbie Payne, who's not racking up a lot of assists, but he's second in the nation in scoring with goals, 17. I mean, he is, really is a special player, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's got a great brain on him. He's got great offensive creativity and he's good around the net. A couple of the goals he's got have been crazy. One of them against us.
Sitting down. Well,
where he's doing these little spinoramas on his knees, getting knocked down, things like that, and whacks a puck in the net. So, he's cerebral about the game, extremely intelligent, outstanding shot, very good strength. So he's developed himself. I've been fortunate enough to watch Robbie play back to when he was a peewee in Gaylord. He's a tremendous player, played some time up here with Ojibwe, I believe. He played up here for AAA Midget. So he was a great player. I enjoyed my time with him. I recruited him. He was a phenomenal player, and he's a great college hockey player, almost a goal a game guy.
The Wildcats have 5 guys now with 20 or more points, so they've got such a good nucleus there that are racking up the points, and everybody's kind of contributing, which is making it tough to defend them.
They're going to lose some guys, but they've got a lot of guys back too. But again, it all stems from their goaltending. When they give up opportunities, the goaltending's there. They've got Vermeulen's playing a better game for them, so they've got it going. They're going to be a good team. I'm looking forward to that last series of the year.
It should be a good one. I think Ballou got the game winner in overtime on Saturday night too. So as we look at the standings, Coach, we were talking about this earlier today here on the show, but Michigan Tech, we are in 5th place right now, so that would be the top non-home team in the playoffs, and we would, if this playoff started today, we would take on Bemidji State. But, I was going through, we have 30 more points available as we go through the season. Do you have a number? Do you do that where you think in your head, we need to get this many points to probably get home ice, or do you look at it?
I don't think you can do that right now. I think it's so tight there, and even with teams that are just behind us, like Huntsville and things like that. Things are going to change. Weekends are going to go one way. Weekends are going to go another way. I don't think you can really pick a point number. If there was a little bit more spread between the group, I think you could say that, but, there's not. So, I just think the biggest thing with us is we have head to head with Bemidji at home. Mm-hmm. We go to Bowling Green for 2. We have Ferris State for a couple. We have Northern Michigan for a couple. So 3 of the teams ahead of us we have, we have head-to-head games with, and you obviously have to take care of business as best you can in the other games, but those are going to be critical games because, they're going to be, they're going to make the difference in that home ice spot.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more from Coach Sean here on Mix. By the way, just in case you're wondering, I'm thinking 20 points. I think we need 20 points out of the 30 for home ice. That's my guess right now, but that's a long shot at this time. But I understand what you're saying. It's going to be very interesting coming down the stretch here, and like you said, the Northern Michigan Series and the Bemidji State Winter Carnival Series will be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour. We'll also start getting to some of your questions, too. If you haven't got one in and you're listening here on Monday Morning Live, email me, dj@themix93.com.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
Enjoy all-you-can-eat specials at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Tuesdays, all-you-can-eat Joey's Original Fish and Chips. Wednesdays, all-you-can-eat chicken and popcorn shrimp. Thursdays, all-you-can-eat shrimp. Plus, Joey's has seafood and soups any day, salads, tacos, chicken, ribs, steaks, burgers, and many gluten-free menu options as well. Stop in for a quick lunch or dinner paired with your favorite beer, wine, or cocktail. We hope to see you soon. It's our pleasure to serve you at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. People often, I'm sure, wonder what we talk about during the breaks there. Well, we're talking about concerts, of course, music concerts. We got a couple of questions in, not too many yet, but first question, Coach, is there any way to create grit in a player, or is that something like height that you can't change?
You know, we're talking about that. I was talking to Dallas on the phone yesterday, getting an update on what he was seeing, what he saw that yesterday, and we were talking about that and how we want to recruit. You can create an environment in practice, and I've had it before. I've done it. You can create an environment in practice that makes players more competitive. But I think that you either have an innate, you have that innately in your personality, and sometimes it's just confidence. Sometimes confidence and strength will bring it out as well. But I think to truly be, an initiator, as far as I think in a lot of ways it's in you or it's not. I remember Walt, Kyle, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit, but Walt, Kyle used to say, and we talk about this in the room, he'd rather tame a tiger than paint stripes on, we'll say, a kitty cat. He'd rather tame a tiger. And it's a lot easier to pull it back than it is to bring it out. But again, through the environment and through confidence in a player, they can certainly get more competitive. And I've had success with that. It's a couple guys in juniors, a kid named Dominic Osman. He led Lake State in scoring for a few years. We just forced him with everyday grind and practice. And we do that. We're doing that now. We've been doing that for quite some time where we've just upped the intensity of our practices and up the compete level. And I think it's paid dividends for us. It certainly paid dividends on the offensive side of the puck. You know, we've been scoring more goals lately. And, as a whole, we're probably near over around 3.5 or so probably in the last, 15, 18 hockey games.
Is there anybody on the team now or since you've been here at Michigan Tech that you've had to try to pull back? Somebody that's so intense that you got to kind of rein them in a little bit. Can you think of anybody?
Blake Piedla. We talk about that. Blake Piedla made guys around him, courageous. Like he'd get that switch that would flip and when he was upset with the way a guy was playing, or he's upset, and he would just take that puck and start skating up the ice. He'd go to his backhand and go up the right side of the wall, and he just dared anybody to get in his way. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There are a lot of guys that looked like they were trying to get Blake Piella, and they weren't trying to get Blake Piella. They were coming in underneath and made it look like he blew right by him. And if they had a courageous guy in that other team, there's one whale of a collision at some point, usually up near the far blue line area, and, you know, there was a cloud of smoke. And so you had to pull him back. You had to tell him to relax, because he had that snap factor where he was – there was a point at you know, that he was, someone was going to get hurt. You know, he was, so he had that. We had other guys with really high compete, but as far as having to pull guys back, we haven't had, I don't think that's kind of been the MO here. I don't think there's a lot of guys that we've had to say, you know, let's tame her back a little bit. There's been many more where we've been trying to find ways to get them to get after the puck, to forecheck a little bit more aggressively, and to try to find creative ways to get to them to buy in that, you know, the idea here is to get the puck on your stick, or we want the puck. You know, we don't want the other team to have the puck, and here's how we can, you know, work together and do that.
And you talk about Blake Piella. There's one play I remember where he was on the half wall, basically, and there was a puck there. I think it was two opposing players had their stick in there trying to get the puck, and it was one of those moments where he just started throwing that stick around and whacking. Yeah. I mean, I thought for sure he was going to get a slashing call. Didn't. Came out there with the puck and made a play.
And he had a crazy look in his eye. And he had snot flying everywhere. I mean, he was a bull. He was a bull that was charging that red cape. And you know what? And you love those guys. Mm-hmm. You just love those guys because they make everybody else just a little bit better, a little bit more courageous. So, you know, you love those guys in your team. And when they're extremely intelligent, you know, we've had a lot of guys that have that personality. Matt Roy had that personality. Shane Hanna had that personality. Like, those guys had, Leibinger had that personality. But they were able to, they didn't have that snap factor. They were able to keep their composure. But Blake had the snap factor. Mm-hmm. Those other guys, by the time they got to us, they had it under control. But I mean, Mike Neville, you know, Reed Sturrows, they had, those guys were aggressive. They were aggressive. And if you look at it, they were some of our better players. That it's a, you know, it is a combat sport. When trainers, or when you're studying to be a physical therapist or a trainer in school, you have to get so many hours of combat sports. Hockey fills that quality, mm-hmm. that qualification. Hockey, football, they're combat sports.
Speaking of defensemen from last year, congratulations, by the way, to Cliff Watson.
Yeah.
Getting on the East Coast All-Star game.
Yeah, great job. And the ironic thing is, what I've gotten out of that is they had to send him down from the American League to the East Coast to play him. So he got actually demoted to play in the All-Star game because he qualified. He got voted into the All-Star game. So, tremendous player, tremendous leader, great kid.
Next question for Coach Joe Sean. It says, how do Joe and his staff determine if a kid being recruited is a preferred walk-on, 2-for-4, 3-for-4, or full boat?
A lot of I've talked to about it before. We try to judge their impact. Some of the pickle that we got in is, when we were getting into the recruiting method that we used before, everybody was offered a full boat. For the most part, most everybody. And that got us into the bind that we got in because there's just not enough money for everybody. So you have to, but that was how it was done in order to get the recruit. And then it was, you know, either, you know, it was handled however it was handled after that. We just are honest with the guy and we look at where we think they're going to play in the lineup. There's certain guys that you can get later. There's certain areas that you can fill later. You don't have to overspend. And that's where the concern you have is overspending. Because we always want to be transparent and honest with our players. I've talked about before, a certain player, 50, 60 points, 55 points in the BC League to me does not equate to a guaranteed top six offensive type guy. So, unless that player has what we're talking about complete, you know, has an it factor as far as his competitive level and his, he's going to help you, you know, the impact he's going to have. It's hard to offer that player, a full. Now, other things come into play. Academics are a big deal, especially at Michigan Tech. If you have a tremendous student, you know, they get some financial aid that knocks some off the top right away. If they're a legacy student where they have family members, they knock a certain, you know, if they're out of state, that knocks a certain amount off of your scholarship value right away. So you might give them, you know, you might give them 50% academic, but they're getting another 50% athletic, but they're getting another 20-25% academic, which brings them up to nearly a full type scholarship. So, those players, you're always excited about a player, that has Ivy League type grades and things like that you can get in because they're going to get good academic money. And then that takes away from the amount of athletic money that you have to give them, to get them on something where we can reach an agreement and get a player to come in.
Here's the next question for Coach Sean. Coach, can you contrast how recruiting is going so far this year to how it has gone at the same time in past years?
The last couple of years, I think recruiting went pretty well. I'm trying to really, part of what happened is we lost some recruits that we had coming in, some top level that a couple of them ended up with Michigan and things like that. So, what it comes down to is when they actually get on campus, when those guys end up getting on campus, I really like the players that we've brought in, that we're bringing in right now, that we've committed right now, because I think they have, and I wish I could say names, but people can go on sites and find them. But as far as their contribution right now, overall, offensively and everything, if you look, like it seems like every night our guys, the guys that we have, are on the score sheet with the teams they're playing for. In the last few years, that wasn't necessarily the case. We had a lot of guys in the last few years that you'd say are projections. That you're projecting that what they're going to be. And projections, you can lose a lot of games on that. You can, and if you have too many of those, when you have too many of those projections, they can turn up into misses where they're not contributing. So we have a lot of guys right now that are really making strides and really, impacting, high their teams and some of the better leagues around. So, and again, I wish I could mention names, but you can go through and look at them and see point totals and start tracking guys within their games, and they're getting points every game. And they're going to have the totals that are more the upper end, the 80 point type guys, in the BC league, and the 45 point guys, 50 point guys in the USHL. And, we're getting more of that. So I think the recruiting has gone extremely well. And the ones that we thought weren't going to, we've dealt with, for the most part, dealt with those situations and let them know where we saw them fitting in with us and try to be as straightforward and as honest as we could with them. And I'm kind of walking the edges here because of it's recruiting and you have to, but, I really like the job we've done in recruiting this year, and I like the impact that they're having. I think they're going to be tremendous college players.
Coach, we haven't been home in over a month, but we've had four games on the road, and I know you touched on it yesterday, or last week, I should say, by phone. But now that you're in the studio, can you talk a little bit more about just the unbelievable fan and alumni support for this team when we're far from home, far from
always,
home?
Always. And the first time it really hit me was my first GLI when I was here. And we went down there, and we were playing, I think we played Michigan that year in the final. No, we played Michigan in the semi. I think we beat them 2-1, or maybe they beat us that year. I think we beat them twice at home, and then they beat us like 2-1
in the
semi final, maybe. But the crowd there, I was used to being at Lake Superior, where we were playing Michigan when I was there year after year at some point in the CCHA playoffs, often in the championship game, but often in the semifinal game as well. And it was always a Michigan crowd. We followed well at that time too. I mean, we were one of the top teams in the country for a long, long time. But it was still a Michigan crowd. We'd have some Michigan State people there voting for us if they were in it. Mm-hmm. And then we'd have our people, but you went in there and it was still a amazing blue crowd. That's never happened since I've been here. It's a Michigan Tech crowd. People like Michigan Tech. We have a fan base everywhere, and there's still a popularity in the jerseys and everything there is about the program. There's a Cinderella vibe there. But a lot of it also, as we just heard on that Alaska, that Fairbanks clip, a lot of it's just absolutely loyal fans that love the program. I mean, there were so many people coming up, that I talked to after the game in both the championship games, over the break where I'm down, you know what I mean? Like I wanted to perform well in those games. I'm feeling we're taking, you know, we just didn't grab a moment, grab an opportunity. We're still ways away figuring out what we have to work on. They're coming up. Oh, coach, you did, but the team did so well, you know, everything's going well. It's on, I mean, they're so positive and mm-hmm. so energetic and such quality people. So, the fan base is outstanding here. It's healthy. It's vibrant. It's involved. It's engaged. You know, we were just talking openly. We were talking about Ray Bryce. You know, there's a local flavor. There's a local appeal. Like what's going on with Ray Bryce. People are passionate and that's a great thing. You know, you'd rather have that than apathy. I mean, I'm sure some coaches would like to have the apathy side, you know, just let's go in the background a little bit, like, you know, but I love it. I mean, I've seen it go, you know, I've been part of that for a long time with a lot of programs and I love the energy. It keeps us all, engaged. It keeps us all hardworking, committed. We feel let down when we let our base down. I feel personally let down when we let our base down, when we don't have success. I feel bad for the athletic department as a whole that depends on that spotlight in recruiting and things, getting that name recognition out there, things like that. I feel, you know, you feel for it. And that's a good thing that there's such a enthused, engaged, and our players feel it. Our players feel it. They love it. They play off it. We feed off it. It helps us. We've, you know, even games on the road, even against, Arizona, we're down 3-0 mm-hmm. and our crowd's in it and everything. And we're battling back. You know, we came back twice in the Alaskas, you know, from a couple goals down in third periods. So we play off it and we feel it. So it's a big deal.
And what's amazing to me, and this is nothing new, that is nothing that people don't know already, but, not only are they positive about the Huskies, but when the Huskies weren't playing, they hopped on the board, hopped on board on some other team. Like we saw the Misfits kind of teaming up with the Arizona crowd there, and you know, jokingly, kind of tongue in cheek, rooting against the Wildcats.
I don't think it was tongue in cheek.
Well, I mean, I was trying to be nice.
Yeah,
there.
No, there's a there. Yeah, that's a rival. That's a rival. No,
you know what I mean. Yeah. No, it's just it really is amazing how amazing they are.
I remember playing one time at Munn Arena, playing against Michigan in the it was in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. and we were playing Michigan, and Michigan State had lost out the day before, and the Michigan State pep band played for us. Like they were with our band. I mean, it was loud in Munn Arena. I mean, the place took over the Michigan State. So that's the same thing that happened there. Our people went and sat with the Arizona State. By the way, Arizona State with another big win the other night, beating Lowell 4-0.
They lose 4-0, they come back and win 4-0 the next night.
But, you know, it's not a bad hockey team, and we were able to, I mean, we just have to play that whole 60 minutes of hockey. But they're a good hockey team as well, so we're excited for those two games coming up against them too.
And that'll be in a couple of weeks. Now remember, the Huskies are home this week, and then they're on the road for 2 weeks. They'll be at Ferris and then at Bowling Green. Two last road trips, really, of the regular season. And they come home for Bemidji State, for the Winter Carnival. Be home for the non-conference series against Arizona State, and then the home and home against the Wildcats. And it is nice always finishing that regular season at home. It's pretty good how we have that going for us right now. More questions can come on in. We'll take a break. Be back with more of the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We'll talk a little bit more about this series coming up and what coach is expecting from the Nanooks. It's all part of the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. That's why we brew a beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. And for those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. Hey, that's why we brew Michelob Ultra, to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and an exceptional taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who go the extra mile. Enjoy responsibly. 2016 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams protein, 0 grams fat per 12 ounces.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But
Burgers are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today. The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. No more weekends off for Michigan Tech. We are going right down to the end of the season each and every week. And that starts this weekend against Fairbanks. Alaska Fairbanks coming into town. Coach, a team that we had a couple of wins at earlier in the season, right after, well, with Thanksgiving weekend up at Carlson Center. But this team has a lot of talent on them, and they can score goals. We know that.
Yeah, they rely a lot on a couple players that the entire league is having trouble shutting down, and that's Fry and Woods, a couple of defensemen. Fry got two goals on the Friday on the 5-0 win against Mankato on Friday night. He's those guys are extremely good hockey players. And then one thing that they do better than most teams in our league is that in the offensive zone, they make some plays that actually surprise you. You know, like they have a really good way of creating a little bit of time and space with the puck with some quickness and then getting open right away. And they make that play that surprises guys. If you remember last time we played them, the goals that they scored for the most part were where we had coverage. And it was just a slight separation. A guy would move away real quickly and get the pucks. Quick little timing plays. So they have that creativity element. They've had that ever since Dallas Ferguson was there. Lance has maintained that with what they have. So you have to really be diligent and focused, or else that at any time a puck can go in the net. You know, before they had the Morley guys and things like that. Now they have some other guys buzzing around doing it. So they're a dangerous hockey team. But I think at this stage of the year, we all have vulnerabilities. You are your record. You are what you are. You're looking for trends and you're looking for growth. You know what I mean? You're seeing who's playing consistently better now, versus not. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think the teams are pretty equally based throughout their lineup.
You said after the Arizona State loss that this has to be another lesson learned by the Huskies, and you're talking about that intensity and making sure that you're aware of what's going on at all time, especially defensively. Do you feel, I know it's hard to tell until we're in the games, but do you feel that we have learned that lesson? Because I know it's been a couple of those throughout the season.
Yeah, well, you don't know until you get on the ice. You know, the things that were disheartening in the Arizona game early, like obviously we played well down, you know, in the last half of the game, but early were the breakaways we gave up right off the bat. You know, like, we gave up two turnovers by forwards, one 4-on-4, one on the power play, when we were on the power play, but at our blue line where we were trying to beat a guy 1-on-1 and they just came and knocked us down and took the puck, trying to do a little bit too much. So, that's just not beating yourself. And that's we have to, you know, there's a couple areas where we have to get better. But there's a lot of areas where we want to get better, but the two primary areas of concern, as far as when you take out the individual, positional play, Like as far as a team, we have to get better at our winning battles, getting guys in battles and winning battles and hanging onto a puck long enough to get guys in there that want to win the battle, or stopping the opposition, not making it easy for the opposition to get out of a battle, is when we make a hit on a guy or when we're right on a guy, but our stick isn't on the puck and we still allow him to make a play, or we hit a guy and we come off the hit and that guy takes the hit and absorbs, takes the hit to make a play. We have to get better in those areas, and then our turnovers have to get better. Our lackadaisical play, at times, especially in critical areas, but turning the puck over and forcing plays that aren't there and making soft plays and things like that, those areas have to get better. So we have to continue to get better in the compete fashion of our game. And part of that is with our puck management, without turning the puck over. It has to mean more. And that, a lot of that's on us, on me as a coach, to make sure that we're playing guys. We probably should have done more earlier, in all honesty, as far as sitting guys out and things like that, regardless of who they are. But we just didn't feel that we were getting enough push. We have to make sure that when we take a guy out, that we put a guy in and he's not making our team less. So it's been a fine line trying to make sure we're developing our depth, recruiting our depth, because we were a lot better as a program. And people don't like to go in the past, but when you had Blake Hietala pushing to get in the lineup, when you had Max Vallas pushing to get in the lineup, and those guys, when they went in the lineup, contributed. They went in and got points and things like that. We talked about Cooper Watson. We put Cooper in, and it might have been too early for Cooper when we put him in, because he struggled in the game. He gave up. He was a -2. And then was in the box, took a penalty on another goal he got. So three of the goals in the first, 30 minutes of the game were, he was directly involved in. Put him in maybe a little bit too early. Wasn't quite ready. We didn't know if he was, we wondered, but we wanted to get, we wanted to get him in and get our depth established and see what we had. You have to make sure that the guys going in, are making you better, and that's what we need. We need that push from that part of our lineup. So it's kind of made us like, but in honesty, probably should have just taken guys out. When you know the end result, it's easy to say that. Mm-hmm. When you know that you're going to come out in that game and you weren't going to have the compete level or things you want, it's easy to, in retrospect, to look back and say that. But, probably should have, regardless of what it did, just said, hey, listen, we're not tolerating that. Regardless of who you are, you're not going to play that way, and I think it probably would have helped some of our upperclassmen.
You must have been pretty positive with Cooper, though, because after that first game, I would imagine a lot of guys could lose their spirit about, I got my one shot here, and I didn't really take advantage of it, but yet when you put him back in the Great Lakes Invitational, he performed great.
Well, our goal is what we want to do, our emphasis with our guys, and if you asked a guy one-on-one, he would tell you, what does the coach want? I did that the other day with him. We had a meeting on Tuesday when we got back, and it was expectations, where we're at. We have 2 weeks to get ready for our opponent. We're going to play a lot of teams that are the same. This is the areas we want to work. Our goal is to get better every day. We want to make sure that guys are getting better every day. That's all we ask you, is to get better every day and to be a complete hockey player. To have the character traits, that work within our program, within our culture, within our community, and then to start having the athletic traits and working up on importance from there and isolating with each guy. Like based on, I went over everything that we're looking for in our athletes. And then where do you fit in these? Like, where do you fit on your total understanding of our systems? Where do you fit on your total, dedication and alertness to what'll make us, the different things that we evaluate on. And I want to make sure so that there's no gray areas with any player on what we're looking for, so that they can't say, well, the coach doesn't like me. And there's nothing personal. When you look at, Todd Killinen has worked his way in the lineup. Ray Bryce worked his way in the lineup. Cooper Watson worked his way in the lineup. I mean, there's a lot of guys through it that work their way in the lineup if their performance is good. And if they start dropping off in certain areas or people pass them, they work their way ahead of them in the lineup. So we want to make sure we have that. And with that said, then I asked some guys around the room, if I were to ask you, just to make sure that there's, I don't want to ever be a coach that plays head games or that, you know, there's a misunderstanding or there's gray area. So I asked the players, if I were to ask you, you know, what do you think I expect of you? What would you say? And everybody I asked was right on. You'd tell me to be more competitive. You'd tell me to be this. You tell me to limit my turnovers. So there's no gray area there. So now we can work on what we have to work on within our game. And with Cooper, that's what we did. Cooper, if you get to the point where you need to be able to penalty kill for us, I don't think you're going to be a top four, offensively dynamic hockey player at this level. Now you can push that and we'd love you to develop into that, but where you can have the best opportunity right now to help our team and help yourself is by doing this. And he grasped it. He went after it hard. He worked extra at it, put his extra time in the weight room, did everything you're asking, and then was ready. And that's what I said. When he got the opportunity to play, he was ready. You know, that's what I keep saying when I talk about Cooper. When he got the opportunity to play, he impacted the game in a positive way for us. He made us better. So now the trick is, what do you do with the other defense? Mm-hmm. You know, where's the growth in some of the other guys? Is it there? And it goes back to the same thing we've been talking about before. We need, you know, Mark Ock has to play better for us. He has to do a lot. And his deal is the trouble he's having is the offense isn't coming now. That's what's going on with Mark Ock. The offense isn't coming. Defensively, he's always, you know, He always tries to flare for the offense. So, and that's the conversations we have with Ocker is, Ocker, at what point do we say the defending side's better? Like, we need the defending in there versus, the offense, because we have some forwards that are playing good now. If you're not putting up points, are you helping us with a lack of defending, or are we better off with another player in the lineup? Like, so, you know, forward, defense, whatever. That's the dynamic you play with. He's important to our special teams, but he's got to perform in those areas. Or it gets back to what I'm saying. Or do you just say, okay, let's just take the pressure off, you know, watch a game. You know, let's just watch and see if you can figure it out. So, our goal is to help guys get better. The player's obligation is to get better. You know, be a good student, get better, and be good in the community. And I love, we have a great group of players. We have a great group of individuals. I have no concerns in any way about the character foundation of our team, the chemistry of our team. I have no concerns about that. And what we're working on is the intangibles, the skill level, the complete understanding. And part of that understanding is turnovers, is commitment to your teammates and things like that, and in getting in uncomfortable and going into battles and winning them. And that's what we address. And we address that daily with individuals. And sometimes you have to just judge the right time. Sometimes it's not the right time to push them. Sometimes the right time is, you know, when they're having some success. Okay, now it's starting to come, and then you can push them a step farther. It's always easier when they're receptive.
All right, Coach, we only have a couple of minutes. It seems like right now, and I know we maybe don't want to get too into it here, we have three number one goaltenders, we have three number two goaltenders, we have three number three goaltenders. They've all been in each spot throughout the lineup. Is this a tough thing for you going forward to figure out, and maybe like a game day decision now on who's going to be in the net as far as going forward? Do you know?
It's tough. I'm gonna be honest. It's tough right now, because we've been getting the same characteristics out of each. They go in and we really get a good first game. And then from that point on, then it starts getting average, and then to the point where we have a game. And probably a lot of it is known as establish themselves, where we're willing to let them play through it because we see a trend, mm-hmm. where the numbers go, like against the BC game, you know, we'll get into Devon or the Lake State game with, or the Ferris State game, Ferris State game with Packy, Lake State game, the second game, with Robbie, or the BC game. First really good game to start with, and then you get into that where the scoring chances are still low. Our scoring chances against are lower than a year ago. If you're looking at an indicator, our scoring chance against, we're averaging about right around a little over 11 scoring chances against a game, where last year we were averaging a little over 15 scoring chances against a game. So defensively, we're better. So in reality, if we have an all-league type goaltender in there, we're probably 5 wins better. But we have to grow. I have to grow as a coach. We all have to grow and get better. When you get into that, our offensive production is also higher than last year. Where last year we were averaging about 17 scoring chances for a game, we're over 20 this year. So every indication as far as team dynamic, and what I feel is important is better. We work hard to create offense and create a lot of offense to score goals, and we're getting better at that. We work really hard to not give up scoring chance against. And it's, and that's where I say, and that's where I was talking about with Jeff Blashill. We give up goals too easy. It doesn't take as many scoring chances to score against us as it should. And we're getting better offensively, but it takes more offensively to score goals. You know, we don't score at the same percentage as you'd like to regarding scoring chances. And I know I'm beating this up, but who's going to play in the net? We have to go. We have to. We're still looking for someone, and the goalies know that, and they're working hard at it. Trust me, they want to be great. They want. They every one of them wants to be great and wants to take it. There is that extra little bit of pressure though to right now to be the guy that gets in there and rides it. And we have to just focus on that and focus on getting them better and play around that until one guy steps up and grabs it.
Coach, thanks for your time. A lot of fun today. A lot of great insight of the Huskies. And have a great week of practice, and we'll talk to you on Friday, okay?
Great, thanks.
Coach Joshan. Joshan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Thanks for your questions, and we'll talk to you soon. Again, game time 7:07, both Friday and Saturday night at home at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. See you there.